If you will, turn back with me now to 1 Peter chapter 1. My subject, and I pray it's God's message for you for this hour, is being born again. I've heard that phrase quoted since I was old enough to know what language is. Just a little feller sitting there on the pew, and I couldn't make it through the whole service. I'd go through about 30 minutes and then just follow and go to sleep. I was so little. But I can remember back hearing men and women talking about being born again. Every child of God, every chosen sinner for whom Christ died, shall be born again. There's nothing iffy about it. It's not one of those things that some people have happen and others don't. Every child of God, every chosen sinner for whom Christ died shall be born of God. Our Lord said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He can talk about it, but he can't enter in. He can argue doctrine, but he can't enter into the kingdom. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God. Well, what does it mean to be born of God? It means to become a son of God. That's what it means. It means to be a believer. In John chapter 1, the gospel according to John, chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, talking about our Lord, that he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. They've been talking about him for centuries. They've been prophesying about him for centuries. But when he came to them, they received him not. But some did. Some did. Some of the world and some of his own. As many as received him. Why did they receive him and nobody else did? Why did you receive him and others sitting there that same day didn't? As many as received him, now listen to this, to them gave he power. I asked Brother Dom one time, I said, what's that word power mean? Does that mean permission or authority? What? He said, yes. It means everything that power means. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now listen, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Born. Not of blood. Not of blood. Not of the will of the flesh. Not of the will of man. But of God. Nobody was given power to become sons of God by a new birth who were not chosen of God and predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Nobody. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Let me see if I can show you something over here. The Jews looked to Abraham as their covenant head. They said to our Lord, we have Abraham as our father. John 8:39. You couldn't be a Jew unless you had a blood tie to Abraham. In Romans 9, Paul begins to show them that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarch, were typical men who all represented in figure the true children of God. Each one was a figure. Abraham, it was his faith that God was given in figure. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he didn't say it for his sake alone, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that sent our Lord into this world. Abraham's faith is what he was singled out for, and Jacob stood in type as a representative of God's elect. All those things told to her mother before these two children were ever did any good or any evil. They weren't even born yet. They were still in the womb of their mother. Romans 9:11. It was said unto her that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Jacob. Oh, ye sons of Jacob. What's he talking about? He's talking about God's elect. Jacob in figure stood for all God's elect. Romans 9:7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac. Now we come to the third man. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now here's a man typical of calling and the new birth. Isaac. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now watch this. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a child. But he was too old to have children, and so was she. Didn't make no difference. God said, when I come, she's going to have a child. And Sarah is a type of the church. And when Zion travails, she brings forth sons and daughters. In Galatians 4:28, listen to this. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the promise. Boy, that clear, ain't it? Huh? We're born as Christ comes into our hearts by his gospel and according to his promise. Now with these things in mind, let me show you four things concerning this new birth of chosen sinners. First of all, I want you to see this, the providence of God. Those who read and study the Word of God rest heavily upon the providence of God. They wait on God, don't they? What are they waiting for? God's providence. Huh? How many times does he tell us, wait on the Lord? Wait on, what you talking about? What you talking about? He's talking about God's providence. God does things in his own time according to his way, not ours. We wait on the Lord. Well, what is the providence of God? It's God arranging and controlling all things for our good and his glory. That's the providence of God. God states his providence concerning his elect all through the scriptures. Back yonder in Isaiah 46, beginning of verse 3, he said, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me. From the belly. Which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs, white hairs, will I carry you. I've made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Verse 8. Remember this. And show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I'm God and there's none else. I declare the end from the beginning. And from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I'll do all my pleasure. I'll call a ravenous bird from the east. The man that executeth my counsel from a far country. I've spoken it, I'll also bring it to pass, I've purposed it, I'll also do it. Sound like God's providence to me. They're nothing iffy or dependent upon chance. Believers obtain their inheritance. Now listen, he appointed Christ the steward of all things, even time. He's the steward of all things. By whom also, he says, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Oh, but there's a lot of things involved in this. I know. And God's providence brings them to pass. Salvation in Christ by new birth is not some last chance effort of God because everything else failed. God's done all he can do. Really? The living God, the creator of the universe, done all he can do, and now he's waiting on you to do something? My soul, how silly. No, sir, that ain't how it works. God, listen to this, God. Now, there's an antichrist in the world, and men are influenced by it. And they will receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved because they've been deceived. Deceived by antichrist religion. Deceived by false doctrine, false refuge. They've been deceived and they won't receive the love of God that they might be saved. So God turns them over to strong delusion. He sends strong delusion. This is what you want? You can have it. Here you are. And they'll believe a lie and be damned. That's what it says over in 2 Thessalonians 2. But he don't leave it there. Oh, he said, but beloved, thank God for you, beloved. Why? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now listen, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto, because he purposed these things, he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That clears a bell, isn't it? Oh, my soul, God, probably. He states this clearly over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. We're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit takes that blood that was shed and he shows you that it was for you. He sprinkles that blood on your heart. On your heart. And he gives us a lively hope, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Is Christ your hope? Then you have a living hope because he's not dead in the tomb. He's alive and seated at the right hand of God. We've got a lively hope. Listen to this. Grace be to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. God's providence is the working out of God's redemptive will and the means of grace which he's ordained for our salvation. At this time, I'll come. And you're going to have some. You're going to have some. Oh, the providence of God. And then secondly, I want you to see this. I want you to see the means of grace. God births his children by the means he has ordained. Nobody argues too much with the natural means of birthing children. Been having children since Adam and Eve. Nobody argues about that. Oh, but tell them something about the means by which spiritual children are born and they look at you like you're from another planet. The means of the new birth is the preaching of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 3:5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But members by whom you believe, now listen, even as the Lord gave to who? Every man. Huh? That don't leave any options, does it? No. No. This is what he's given to birth his children, and he's given it to every man. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Listen to this. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. There's nothing there to misunderstand, is there? There's not a child here today that can't understand those words. The natural birth is somewhat a symbol of our spiritual birth. Until a seed is put within there, is not going to be a child born. Oh, I was just in my closet and I was born again. I don't think so. What if my wife would have come to me? I'm a young man and I've been out of town and I come back. I've been out working and I come back. My wife tells me, she said, well, honey, I'm just over there working in the garden one day, and next thing I know, I'm pregnant. I think I'd be talking to a divorce lawyer. There has to be a seed. Has to be a seed. Until a seed is put within, there's not going to be a child born. And as the Holy Ghost put that seed into the womb of the virgin, even so, he puts that gospel seed in us. And Christ is born in our hearts and minds. That's what it means to be born again. The ordained means is gospel preaching. The Holy Ghost works in the hearts of chosen sinners through gospel preaching. 1 Peter 1:12 tells us that the prophets understood that what they were preaching, this grace that they were talking about, and this man that's going to come, all the promised seed, he's coming. These prophets understood that unto us they did minister the things. Now watch this. Which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's how we found out. That's how we found out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. Isn't that what that says over in Romans 10? But how are you going to call on him in whom you have not believed? And how are you going to believe on him in whom you have not heard? And how are you going to hear without a preacher? Oh, they preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Wherefore? Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, alert, listening, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Is that how men are born? The preaching of the gospel. That's the gospel seed. How many parables there are? Look, what about the sower went forth to sow? What did he sow? He sowed seed. Been doing good over in the middle of the road. Been doing good over in the thorns and thistles. The only place it grew was in that plowed ground. Ain't it? And then thirdly, let's look at the seed of regeneration. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What is this seed which breaks forth into a new man? Well, I can tell you this. If you're wrong on this, you're wrong on everything. That's just how important this is. If you're wrong on this, you're wrong on everything. What is this gospel seed? Well, he says in 1 Peter 1:23, it's an incorruptible seed by the word of God. And this has a twofold explanation, so I want you to pay attention. First of all, it may be talking about the essential word, which is Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. talking about that essential word, which is Christ, whoever liveth and abideth. Isn't that what he said of himself? Or it may have reference to the gospel. 1 Peter 1:25 says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to be born again reading in here about creation. You can study creation from now to end of time. You're not going to be born again from, and that's the word of God. He tells you how the world was made. Am I going to be born again? No. No, that's not how you're born. You're born by the person that this book declares. That's how you're born. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I don't stand up here and make things up. I've already quoted to you 10 or 15 scriptures this morning and gave you reference to them. But I've also made application to it and told you what it's talking about. It's talking about Christ. Is the born-again Christian. What is this thing? What is this new birth? What's born in me? What's different in me now than then? Is a born-again Christian some supercharged person endowed with power which overcomes everything? Can't find that in the scripture. Paul said, when I would do good, evil present him. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I wouldn't do, that's what I do. You don't sound supercharged to me. Or perhaps a new and divine creation that's no longer subject to sin. I grew up in a church like that. They believed in that you could reach a plateau there of perfection, and then when you did, you were sanctified by a second definite work of grace. What foolishness. What exactly is this new man? Peter said, we are begotten again unto a hope, a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, brethren, there's only two men talked about in all Scripture, just two men, Adam and Christ. And when he gets down to it, and he starts to teach us something about that resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He starts telling us something about this resurrection of Christ. He said, as in Adam, all die. As in Christ, shall all be made alive. Just two men. The old man born of Adam, corrupt, fallen, depraved, at his best state, altogether vanity, walking in the vanity of their minds, and Christ, who is the new man. Ephesians chapter 4, he tells us that pastor, preachers, and evangelists minister to men and women until they come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Is that talking about the sinner? No, he's talking about his Lord. A perfect man. The sacrifice must be perfect to be accepted. God will accept your righteousness when it's perfect righteousness. And the only perfect righteousness we have is in Christ. He's not going to take your good works and put away your sins. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Whose blood? That perfect blood. That lamb without spot or blemish. You see what I'm saying? We keep preaching unto people till they come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. What are you preaching this morning? I'm preaching to you a perfect man, Christ. He's perfect. He's God come into the flesh. He knew no sin. He couldn't be tempted by sin. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ in you, Paul said, the hope of glory. Oh, I thought it was me. That's what religion's trying to do, reform the whole world. When they've made a proselyte out of everybody in this world, they're going to be twofold more the child of hell than they were. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. John tells us, if we say we had no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. But listen to this, 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God, now watch this, doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you apply that to you, you've missed everything that I had to say this morning. That seed in you is that perfect man who cannot sin. He cannot sin. The only way for those scriptures to be true and consistent is that Christ is that seed and that new man born within. And if Christ is what is born in me, a new creation in Christ Jesus, then that holy regenerating seed must be the gospel of Christ. Examine yourselves, Paul said, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except you be reprobates. It's Christ in you. There is no other hope. Listen to this. Galatians 2:19. For I, that is my natural self, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Are you listening? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Oh. Everything else, just religion. I can't remember the name of the movie. And even if I could, I wouldn't tell you. I don't want you to think I watch that stuff. But in that movie, they locked the sheriff up. And he's running for sheriff. And the opposing sheriff is the one that locked him up. And his deputy come in and just pleaded with him to tell him what he knew. And he said, why won't you tell him? He said, because once you've heard the truth, everything else is just cheap whiskey. You see what I'm saying? Christ in you. Know ye not your own? What is my hope? What is my hope today? Not last week. Not if you have to go back to yesterday, you missed something. Salvation's a continual thing. And I tell you, our hope is Christ. A fella asked Henry one Sunday. He hadn't seen him since seminary. He said, Henry, he said, you still saved? And he said, I don't know. He said, is the Lord still on the throne? He's my hope. If he's still on the throne, I'm still saved. Christ in you, there is no other hope. You cannot simply read in the Word of God about creation or the Ark of Noah, the history of the world, even the facts of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ and be born again. It is the testimony of God that he's given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God, whatever else he hath, he don't have life. This is the word, he said, which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God as to how and in whom God saves sinners. My friend, if you miss this, you miss everything. Salvation's all in Christ. Colossians 1:28, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Only the gospel of Christ, the gospel seed, can produce Christ in you. All right, so we've got the providence of God. arranging for us to all these means that God's ordained, the hearing of the gospel. The gospel's preached unto us in power and in the Holy Ghost. Paul told those Thessalonians in his first letter, he said, I know your election of God. I know from my own experience, that's something I'd like to know. He said, I know your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. It came in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. It came in what? Huh? Much assurance. Well, they just born of God. How'd they have all this assurance? They was assured in Christ. In Christ. And being born of God, what is our inmost desire? What is the inmost desire of a man born of God? What does he want? I just want to preach. No. I just want this. I just want that. No. No. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Now watch this. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. What word? That word which by the gospel was preached unto you, that you may grow thereby, if so be you've tasted. We bottle fed our first baby. We had all kinds of trouble. She had colic, she had this, she had that. We couldn't travel, we couldn't do anything. Second one, she breastfed, we'd go anywhere. Newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Those born of God hunger to hear about their Savior. They're not hungry for work salvation or free will or decisionism or ceremonialism. They have no appetite for it. Not days or feasts or any of these things. They hunger for the sincere milk of the word, which is Christ. Nothing is so adequate for the newborn babe as Christ. Beware, Paul said, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. This is in Colossians chapter 2. Lest somebody, they're going to spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Every natural man reasons things by traditional understanding. He thinks he knows something, and now he gets this, and he starts reasoning about it with his natural reasoning. Every natural man makes his decisions based on what established religion has to say. Oh, so you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. How many times have you heard that? You think you're the only one in all Arkansas knows the gospel. Oh, there might be one more. Don't let these men deceive you, for in Christ, now listen to this, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, who's the head of all principalities and power. Wow. You mean I don't need anything else? That's what I'm saying. You don't need anything else. He's all you need. And as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, Paul said, walk in Him. Walk in Him. Newborn babes may be forced to drink from a bottle, but what they really want is that sincere milk from their mother's breast. And the church is the mother. The mother is God's true church. Oh, our great God and Father, we pray that you'll take these things which we preached here today and use them for your good and your glory. Make us to understand these things which are so clearly written. And even more so than that, allow us to be made to become the children of God. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day, a day in all eternity, set apart that your name might be glorified and your gospel might be preached, that sons and daughters may be born. Help us, Lord, for whatever amount of time we have left in this world, to devote ourselves to these things. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.